All right, if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're dealing with a subject that comes up from time to time in a local church, and especially in the establishing of a local church, and also as a church begins to grow and get its feet underneath it. It's an issue on places where someone goes to plant a church. It's an issue where there might be a missionary work being done. We're going to read several verses and come back to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. It's worth noting and keeping in mind that this word apostle is used by dictionary definition in English in a couple ways. One is a sent one. One is also the first person to go into a place with the gospel and with the Bible. And so Paul says, to you, for sure I'm an apostle. I'm the one sent unto you, and I'm the one that brought it to you. Verse 3, mine answer to them that do examine me is this, have we not power to eat and to drink? The question is, it had come up, would it be right for Paul to accept food and drink and sustenance from them in return for all that he had done for them spiritually. Verse 5, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? I'll let you know that Simon Peter was not a very good pope because he was married. That's who Cephas is in verse 5. Paul said, it would be just fine for me to have a wife. He chose not to have one in his calling. Or I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working. If you notice from reading the book of Acts and other places in the epistles, Paul was able at times, and then Barnabas was at times, and a couple other of Paul's helpers would work, and it would help them have the money to eat and to drink. That is to have food and clothing and raiment. And he said, if we wanted to, couldn't we forbear working? And we're about to learn that. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? It's enough that the soldier offers his life. It's enough that the soldier gives service. He's got to be fed and equipped. Who planteth a vineyard eateth not of the fruit thereof. Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock. He's saying that it's just normal for us to get anybody to get remunerated, recompensed, etc. for their service. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? Now, he's about to give us a physical illustration that is very good when it comes to the ministry. For it is written in the law of Moses, at least one reference is over in Deuteronomy 25, it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn, doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, in the context, Paul's a missionary. And this is a great missionary principle, that in many cases, it's good for the missionary to be supported, not so he can have this higher lifestyle than the people around him, but so that he can forego that, because then when he starts a local church and plants it, he immediately begins people to bring their first fruits, Proverbs 3. It happens to be in the Bible, 10% as a starting point. They bring it to the house of God, and as it begins to grow, because the number of people grow, that one of the first things they should take care of is the man of God. And since the missionary has his support, he should teach them. Now, here's what the mistake many missionaries make. They go into a country, and some money begins to come in through normal offerings, and they're already supported, so they start a missions program, missions giving. And they start, because it's easier to get those people to give to missions than it is to get them to give to a person right in front of them in the Western world. He said, if others be partaker, verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? They would bring those offerings, all the different kind of things, and much of it was intended for the people who did the work of the temple. That's how they had their sustenance. They which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Great verse coming up, verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, in the context of this, here's the lesson. He talks about treading out corn. The picture is the oxen would be harnessed, and he would walk in a circle, and he would turn the grist mill, the grind mill. And some of that corn would fall down, and he would have enough leeway on his rope to reach down and eat some of it to keep himself having energy while he worked. And the picture of the muzzle is not so the preacher can't talk. The picture is you shouldn't cut off, and this is what many church does, folks. They cut off the help to the pastor when they don't like what the pastor's preaching, teaching, etc. And so the picture is, and this is not to be a matter of covetousness on the minister's part. It's not to be a matter of making merchandise of God's people. It's just a normal course of events. For years and years, I've taught fellows of small churches to find different things to do so they don't get impatient with the growth of the church. At least have a half or three-quarter, even a full-time job to do so that you are busy, so that you give God time to grow that work. Now, the great challenge is when people begin to give and then up comes the issue of supporting a pastor. You can always tell who the negative people are. You can always tell who the troublemakers are because they're not in favor of helping the pastor with his living. They're not in favor of, even so hath the Lord ordained, that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. They want it to go for buildings, or they want it to go even to missions, anything but the pastor. And so that is one test of people's hearts. Paul didn't do it because of his calling. He was a missionary. Many missionaries make a mistake of not teaching the new believers God's system for support of God's people. There are places that do not have a man who's truly called, etc., with them, not because he's a hireling, but because he can't make ends meet if they're not willing to help. And sometimes God won't send people a man of God unless they're willing to do their part. Now, let me say this. If we're doing our first fruits, and God gives us a way of measuring it, the 10%, if we're doing that as time goes on, 10 people doing their first fruits equals one full income. 20 people doing it equals two. That leaves enough to help the man, the pastor that needs to pay some bills, etc. Here's a verse. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Okay? Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So he says those who labor, that doesn't necessarily mean double the income of the average man in the church. I heard a guy teach that. I'm not saying that, but he's saying honor, honor. And honor in your King James Bible, most of the cases are about helping and remunerating. So the lesson here is about the fact that it's right. It's God's system for it, number one. Number two, God has a means of it through the first fruits. Number three, when the missionary doesn't do it, or someone didn't have to have that help, or maybe they're independently wealthy, I don't know. That doesn't negate the rule. The exceptions to the rule do not negate the rule. If it's I before C, except after E, then that doesn't negate the rule. That gives you the exceptions. And so, I before E, except after C, in case somebody's out there listening and noting. Okay? Now, here's my point. As we came down through here, Paul is saying, I am not less of a pastor to you or preacher to you because I didn't have to take that. And someone else is not bad or if they do take advantage of it or they do take the appropriation of it. You see, the purpose is, many times it tests the congregation. He happens to be writing in 1 Corinthians to people who had many, many spiritual gifts, but they had become carnal and divisive about people and personalities. They had begun to say, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. You know, it's one thing, and it should be so, that the pastor of the church should have the respect. He should have the support, should have the backing of God's people. And you have to watch out for those in a congregation who are constantly putting in negative stuff about the pastor. And especially when it comes to this idea of they who preach the gospel should live with the gospel. So the context of this passage as a Bible-believing Christian is that that corn is a picture of the Word of God. In Joshua, when they left the wilderness and crossed Jordan, it says the manna ceased and they had to eat of the corn of the land. And the picture is the man of God labors in the Word and doctrine, okay? And he takes the corn and grinds it and prepares it and turns it into a spiritual meal. And so it's not a great thing if we have sown spiritual things that in return some should reap carnal things. It's not a great thing if we've received spiritual things that we should not return carnal things, earthly things, unto those who have fed us. And the context of that, so when you find in a congregation a negativity, sometimes you find it in so-called leadership, like what they call deacons or elders, you find this negativity towards helping out the pastor. You find it in Western countries. You'll also find it in societies where there's a negativity towards a business owner in general, or bosses in general, or head people in general. You'll find that it translates into the church, and God takes his people, and he gets scripture like this, and he teaches them what it's about. And so that's the context of this thing of that not muzzling out the mouth of the ox. The ox was able to reach down and grab some corn and eat it. You weren't supposed to put something on them where they couldn't eat. We would take a horse, many of them, the night before they raced, and we would put a leather muzzle on them. It was loose. It wasn't so they couldn't breathe or move. It was so they couldn't eat the extra straw and stuff that would give them colic or make their stomach tie up when they raced. They had to semi-fast so they wouldn't have their belly full of stuff when they went out and ran so hard. So the picture is that we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to create a situation where the pastor cannot live of the gospel who preaches the gospel.